different things that you need to know about as a payroll pro, depending on what type of payrolls and stuff that you process payroll for, exactly right?
So. See, Will is hitting his stride right now, folks.
Welcome to our podcast, It's About Payroll. We're your hosts, Brian Escobar and Walter William Duncan III. Whether you're new to the payroll game or a seasoned veteran, we have something for you.
Welcome back, folks. This is episode 107 as we keep gliding along on this year. The Q1 is done officially today.
Yeah, man.
Before we get into everything, as always, what is going on, sir? How you doing, Walt?
I'm good. Happy Easter to you, sir.
Happy Easter to you.
You know, if you celebrate, if you
happy all that also observe. Yep.
Yeah, man. I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm gearing up.
Cold out there. Got your
hoodie. A little bit, man. It's been cold. It was cold in the house when I woke up because I didn't have the heat on. But it's like 52 degrees. It's like 52 right now outside, so it's not too bad.
Oh, that's not that bad. That's nice. That's bad.
Yeah.
That's so it's a gonna nice be, it brisk.
Should be nice. The high is going to be 52 today. So sorry, it's 9 out right now.
Cold now. It's going to be better.
Yeah.
Later.
Yeah. So it's good, man. I've been watching the tournament.
How is it?
Tournament. It's going good, man. Some teams that you were expecting to be there are there, and then some teams
got knocked
upset.
Out like first round, right?
Duke is still in.
Oh, well, was it UNC or wasn't it a big team that got knocked out real early?
It was like Kentucky.
Kentucky. Or I know it was one of the like those ones that always go Final Four or Elite Eight.
They got beat by like a 12 seed or something like that. Mm. Some very high seed.
That's the one.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, so that's good, man. That and then about to go into their playoff season here pretty soon.
Oh, that's right,
man. Your boy Brunson, man, he had 61 points the other night. He still lost, but bro, third seed.
Hey, it's a team sport, right? Every time these sports come up and people are like, they try to focus on one person, and it's a team sport. If the other guy scored some points too, then you know, I think Kobe, right? Kobe had nights where he was like breaking records and still lost. You know what I mean? Like the other guys have to score. Talking about New York sports, they got, and I think we talked about Saquon Barkley leave going to Philly. He was on New Heights with the Kelce brothers. Yeah. And it was great. It was just like a great, and he said it best. He's look, the fans are mad. That means I did a good job there. I had impact. That means I did my job. They should be mad that I'm leaving. You know what I mean? If they didn't even blink, then guess what? I didn't do nothing.
I mean, that's a nice spin on it, but fans are mad. Fans are mad because of the loyalty. Why? Okay, you could have left, but why'd you go to Philly? They're in our division.
Look, not everybody's writing a check. Not everybody's going after him. So he's got to take the best offer he can. I ain't mad at him.
And best situation, right? Because
best situation for his family. He's a family man too.
Yeah, and so let's think about it. Philly needed a running back, could use a running back like him. They had some decent ones, but Saquon is skill-wise and on paper, he's an upgrade to what they had.
Yep.
And so, you put him with Jalen Hurts, so that might take some of the pressure off of Jalen Hurts having to run so much. And he runs.
Yes. You know. Now it's a double threat, triple threat. If they get another back, then now they don't know who's going to run. You know what I mean? And I guess that part stings. It's in the division and whatnot. But, you know, look, I'm a fan of Saquon, and I think that maybe there's a comfort zone in it. You know what I mean? I know my division already. He's going to know how to go at the Giants now.
At least he didn't go to Dallas, though, right?
I might have to disown him at that point. But you know who he did say that he was a contender? Houston.
But I like Houston. I really like Houston.
Me too.
With Stroud.
Young guns. Yes. Yeah, bro. Young guns, bro. I loved it. I loved it. And Stroud plays with some maturity. He reminds me of KC. Who was that? Well, I can't remember. I'm blanking on Mahomes. Yeah, he reminds me of Mahomes.
You remember how Ben Roethlisberger came into the league and like he was like
Big
really
Ben.
Good just from his rookie year and like just took the that's how I felt about Stroud, man. Like he came in, was killing it from his first year in. Man, okay. All right. And if he didn't miss those couple of games, he probably would have been the number one passer in the league. last year.
In the playoffs, they talked about that a lot, and I didn't watch him. I saw him in the playoffs, and I was like, oh man, I gotta watch this kid. This guy isn't good.
Yeah.
So, anywho, we're going off on
tangents about sports.
Tangent here. Yeah, sorry, folks. We are football fans and sport fans. Hope there's enough of that. Hope we talk about enough different crap for all the fans out there.
Yeah.
Let us know. We're glad to comment on anything.
Some of you who are in the sports probably might skip past this part, but whatever.
Yeah, exactly. You can skip past it. Exactly. Excuse me, bro. Man, I'm sorry, man.
You okay?
Nah, I'm feeling a little sick. Ah, which reminds me, crap, man, I need to put in my sick time.
Oh, what system do you use?
Oh, TimeTrack Go. The simply better employee time clock software that is going to make your life easier. I don't know if you know, man, but it already has a unique graphical employee time card, and it's awesome because it helps you quickly identify and fix the mistakes.
That's right. Now that you say that, they just announced the addition of an automatic PTO accrual earnings, so you can say goodbye to those manual calculations. TimeTrack Go's new automatic PTO accrual feature takes the hassle out of tracking those earned and accrued times, assuring accuracy and consistency for both employees and HR teams.
Oh, that's golden. That's awesome. You know what? That's right. I remember that. I read that you can choose from various rules like yearly, monthly, pay period, hourly, and hourly percentage to seamlessly align with your company's policies. It includes new state sick leave. Awesome, because I'm not feeling good. That's going to help. And you can do vacation hours that automatically increase with length of service.
Man, like, how could someone find out what a Simply Better solution could do for their business?
Oh, to learn more, they're always doing a 14-day free trial. Someone should go to their website at www.timetrackgo.com. That's TimeTrackGo.com. Or if they want to call, the number is 888-321-9922. Let's go.
Let's go.
Next. And I love it on the podcast, like on Spotify, you could just 15 seconds.
Yeah.
Anywho. So let's get into these pay news. Wait a second now. This is episode 107. We are going to talk. I did say quarter end. I missed my whole thing back at the intro. We are going to talk about quarter end reminders, best practices. Taxes are due, folks, right? Payroll taxes are due. So we're going to get into that commentary. But before that, like always, we're going to talk about some pay news. Yep. And Walt is going to start us off.
Yep, I have a few things to talk about. It's really talking about the global economy. So the article is from Euromonitor.com, and it's a global economic outlook for after Q1 2024. So number one, the global economic growth projection. The global economy is expected to experience slowing growth for the second consecutive year in 2024 due to high interest rates that we're all feeling here. Even some of you as listeners are feeling those high interest rates in a lot of major economies. And the economy in China is weakening. But despite a global slowdown, there's an expectation of a gradual normalization of economic growth and conditions. With inflation easing, even though we might not be feeling it, inflation is supposedly easing.
And
monetary policy loosening, supporting and reaccelerating global growth momentum, particularly in the second half of 2024 and into 2025. So this is saying that as we get to the middle of this year, that it should we should start to see even more relief global for the global economy. So hopefully that rings true. The GDP growth trends in advanced economies. So advanced economies are forecasted to face a slowdown in real GDP growth, primarily due to high interest rates, with the U.S. economy showing resilience and an upward revision in growth projections for 2024. The Eurozone economy is expected to continue showing weakness in 2024, with only a minimal recovery projected. It's saying that the U.S. economy is being resilient and holding true. Even though we are feeling it and stuff like that, it's saying that the American economy is holding tight when the rest of the world is feeling it. So number three, growth dynamics in Asia Pacific. Emerging and developing economies in Asia Pacific countries are expected to drive global growth. And with stable growth trends projected, particularly in economies like India, Indonesia, the Philippines, and Vietnam. And even despite the slowdown in China, the region remains the fastest growing, fueled by high levels of consumption and investment. So this is interesting, right? Because you see more companies going over to countries like India, Indonesia, finding workers and finding replacements and stuff like that to help their businesses grow. And so that's helping those economies grow because they're getting more jobs and getting more money. Yeah. And stuff like that. So that's why I said that those countries are the fastest growing economies right now. Inflation trends, number four. Global inflation is forecasted to continue declining, as I spoke about earlier, albeit at a slower pace, a lagging effect of high interest. So despite the overall decline, developing economies may experience persistent inflation due to vulnerability to price shocks and less effective monetary policy. Number five, the impact of global fragmentation scenario. The global economy faces increased uncertainty and risk due to geopolitical tensions. So those wars and stuff that are going on and that stuff is like really impacting the global economy and stuff like that. And it's leading to growing fragmentation. So when you have countries like Russia and U.S. beefing and stuff and putting, you know, setting tariffs and setting the policies and punishments against each other and stuff like that, then that can impact the global economy growth. So that's what that means. And then the last thing is global economic forecasts. So the Euromonitor International provides detailed insights into various macroeconomic scenarios in their Q1 2024 report, highlighting the importance of scenario planning in navigating the current economic landscape. Honestly, it sounds, if you're into one of these things, if you're into economics and this is your thing, read more. There's more details in here. I just took the six main things that's there, but there's a lot more information in this article. So check it out. It'll be in the show notes at the end of the show when the show is posted. That's it for me. Thanks. What do you got, Brian?
Thank you, sir. I always catch the new products catch my eye, new businesses, catch my eye, my research. So I found this company called Remo First. Remo First? Is that what it is? Remo First, did they announce? Yeah. So anyway, and as quoted by their company, their team of HR professionals and legal experts stay current with local updates in every country to expedite the visa process and help HR folks stay compliant. This frees up companies' time to concentrate on their core business objectives. So what they're doing is if employee needs a visa or work permit to legally work in the country they're living in or relocating to, they can handle the entire process and extension of as the employer of record of service, says their CEO. Then I'm not going to try to pronounce the name. And yeah, I'm going to just mess it up. Let's see what else. So I thought that was, again, just basically they're offering HR the whole, I don't know if you've ever been a part of that conversation as a payroll person when you're trying to help expats of other countries get their visa and then go through. No, okay. When I was at Columbia, Teachers College in Columbia, New York, that was one of the things I had to do as a payroll manager. I had to help all the student workers with visas stay compliant because there's compliance that they can't make over a certain amount of money. They can't work over a certain amount of hours, all these things. So I was very involved. And that was a new experience because I was like, what I got to help these people for? These folks, and not in derogatory, just excuse me, because they were from all over the world. So no discrimination. Yes. Anywho, it's tough, right? The process is tough. You have to get lawyers involved. You have to, HR stays involved. Payroll is like a little triangular task force to help these folks. And it costs a lot of money to sponsor and to maintain sponsor stuff. It's worth throwing out there. That's why it caught my eye. I was like, oh, cool. So the company is Remo First announced a new HR service to assist with issuing visas and work permits in more than 85 countries. Wow. So shout out to Remo First. And just to close it out, let's see, Remo First EOR, employer of record solution, enables businesses to affordably and flexibly hire employees and contractors in more than 180 countries where they don't have an entity. It takes full employment responsibility for all aspects of international hiring, including compliance, payroll, taxes, and benefits. Yep. So yeah, shout out to Remo First.
Nice, man.
Yes, sir. Let's see what else we got. Yeah, that was it for me. And then Walt's going to start us off as we talk about, again, best practices, tips, whatever comes to mind as we talk through quarter end filings for payroll taxes. I'm going to start us off, sir.
All right. I'm going to start off and I'll go through the first eight and then Brian will finish this out for us. So number one, you want to know your wage and tax reporting deadlines. This will help ensure all employee wages and tax information for the first quarter is accurately recorded and reported to the appropriate authorities by the respective deadlines. If you're a payroll processor and you have a payroll provider who actually is a third-party administrator for your taxes, just don't sit back and think, oh, they should be handling that. If you have a system, depending on what system you have, if you're able to and you have access to go in and verify that those filings have been done, like ADP, for instance, has statements of deposits. So you can see, and so you can be able to say, okay, hey, boom, everything is filed applicable with the state that this company or location is in. So those are things that you can look at in order to go do those things. I know I'll talk about that a little bit later, but you just want to be mindful of that stuff, right?
Trust but verify. Yeah.
Trust but verify. And then quarterly tax filings. So you want to submit your quarterly tax filings, such as the 941, which is your employer's quarterly federal tax return to the IRS, reporting those income taxes, Social Security taxes, and Medicare taxes that are withheld from the employee's paycheck, along with the employer's portion of these taxes. So quarterly tax filings are important. Those state and local tax filings, number three, you want to review and file any state and local quarterly tax returns, ensuring compliance with specific regulations and deadlines applicable to your jurisdiction. So, again, I mentioned the TPAs, right? Just don't trust that it's done, because you can sit back and think that they're handling it for you out of compliance. And then next thing you know, you have a lien or your account is about to be closed or whatever, because your third-party administrator or your payroll provider may not have filed those timely for you. Or you're getting those interest and fees because you thought, hey, they were supposed to file it at this time, but hey, they were delayed for whatever reason. You want to stay on top of those things, which leads to number four, reconciliations. So you want to payroll records against the financial statements to ensure accuracy and identify any discrepancies that need correction before the end of the quarter. So you want to do those checks and balances. So you as a payroll team may have a part in that, or you may have to work with your finance or accounting team to work on those reconciliations to make sure that everything balances. No matter what your role is, that may be you just running a report and providing it to somebody, or you actually going in and actually doing the detailed research and looking for the discrepancies that your accounting or finance team may bring up to you. Number five, benefit plan contributions. And you want to ensure accurate recording and timely payments of employee benefit contributions, such as retirement plans or health insurance premiums. Number six, employee updates. So you want to definitely do your part to help make sure that updated employee records that have any changes that occurred during the quarter, such as new hires, terminations, salary adjustments, or changes in tax withholding statuses, are applied to the appropriate quarter, right? You know, if something is missed, so take this for instance, say an employee submitted an employee change through self-service, or if your company is one of those companies that you actually still take the paper W-4 and you enter the change for the employee and say it's missed, that may impact the employee, right? And you may have to, and the employee, depending on what the employee wants, the employee might want you to do an adjustment for Q1. It's not necessarily likely in some cases. Some companies will be like, hey, we sorry we missed it. Forgive us. It's going to go in for the next quarter or the change this time. We're sorry we missed it. But the employee may push back and want an adjustment on their taxes because, no, it's not my fault. It's your fault.
Yep.
So, something to consider with these employee updates. Number 7, year-to-date reports. So you want to generate year-to-date reports. This, again, will help you with the reconciliations for both those external and internal audits or purposes, providing comprehensive summaries of employee earnings, taxes withheld, and your employer contributions, right? And then number 8, before I pass the baton, is a compliance review. Review your payroll processes and procedures to ensure compliance with relevant laws, regulations, and company policies addressing any areas of concern or potential risk. So this is saying that we as payroll pros, we need to make sure that we're doing our due diligence and our part to make sure that everything seems on the up and up for these things and say, hey, if we know that the SUI rate in this state is this amount, but it wasn't updated in our payroll system, which I've experienced before in my career, where a notice was sent out, but it was never sent to the payroll provider. So they were operating off of an old rate.
Yep.
And then the company ended up owing all this back taxes and had to pay all these penalties and fees. And this is something that could have been caught if whoever was in payroll or whoever was in charge of that with a compliance review. But with that, I'm going to pass it to Brian.
Well, before you pass it off, you just threw in a little nugget there from real life. But anything else you could think of quarterly-wise? Yeah, pretty good. That was a good review because it's like the reconciliations, the year-to-day reporting, the compliance review of it. What the compliance review makes me think of also be, as a payroll pro, be wary, how can I say?
Be mindful.
Thank you. Be mindful of your HR partners reaching out for help as well, because there could possibly be some HR compliance reports that are due that have quarter end due dates. And if there's payroll numbers involved, they're going to reach out to payroll for help. So that's your time to stretch. That's your opportunity to stretch out, help your partners in the HR department. So my first item is number 9, budget reviews. Perfect segue. Collaborate with finance and HR. That three-headed monster, the holy trinity of payroll, payroll, finance, HR. Collaborate with finance and HR departments to review payroll budgets, forecasts, identifying any variance or discrepancies that require attention. Are we over or under the expected amount of payroll being spent? Hours worked, overtime pay, regular bonuses, all these things are important to HR and finance. They want to track that. If you have a referral program, how is that doing? That's something that HR is going to want to be tracking to see if it's actually working, right? Is your referral plan working? Are you just paying out all this money in referrals, but then all the people leave anyway?
Good call out.
This is what I'm saying. So that's what they're talking about when they refer to budget reviews. And then finance, they just want to know where the dollars are being spent. Are we up high? Are they over budget, over forecast, under forecast, things like that. Number 10, employee communications. Communicate with employees regarding any changes or updates related to payroll, taxes, benefits, relevant matters, ensuring transparency and clarity. This is so key. Because communications just doesn't always get the attention it needs. And even when it does, it has to happen on so many different fronts, right? There's no one right way to communicate with your employees. What was that stat you found with the employee handbook? It was like 65% of employees actively don't read the employee handbook. They actively avoid the handbook. Come on. This is part of it. Your handbook is only one tiny piece of communication. And as we do things quarterly anyway, this is something, if you're having a problem with communications, you want to be reviewing that monthly, quarterly, however often you need to. What's up?
Yeah, it said 60 to 66% of employees
Don't read that. We got to change. That's going to be my goal now. How to figure out, and I have some ideas on it, we really need to change the way we communicate the handbook to folks. We have to maybe gamify it. Everything is gamification right now. Yes, like bro. That's the right. And shout out to Brooke Blomker. she had a visual of the handbook, and the way she laid it out for review was amazing. It was like, dang, this is how she made it digestible for our task force that was like reviewing the handbook and updating it. But
yes,
I was like, dang, man, this is the way it should be actually delivered to employees for employees to digest. Because the book can it's going to be 20, 30 pages. There's no way around it, if not more. Right. There's just no way around it. And that's what's hard for folks, because now everybody got ADD, adult ADHD, whatever. Like everybody has the phone and is scrolling. What is it? If they don't catch our attention in the first millisecond, we're scrolling.
It's like the first 8-10 seconds or something like that. They say like the average attention span for everybody, I think they said it's 8 seconds now. Lower.
Anywho, that's employee communications, big topic, and something that's we're gonna constantly talk about, because payroll, I think Walt leads a great example of how to do it right, because he sends out surveys for his process and his service delivery system, you know what I mean, for your domain, and he's getting feedback from his customers to get better. Like he lives be better, right? You hear him say it, oh, we got to be better. Yes, he lives that. So that's a great way to serve the feedback loop, right? So number 11, and it goes right hand in hand with this, training and development. It's so intertwined, the trend. I'm locking my hands, folks, for those who are just listening. It's such a intertwined task and function, that communications, training and development. We have to be better at this. We can't just put out job aids and put out a website or like an intranet and post links and say, hey, you got to go there. That's where it is. Go learn. That's just one part of it. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But that can't be the end all of training and development. Right. I think folks, leaders try to skate off on, well, we put out a training. Oh, when's the last time you trained them? A year ago.
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
Yes, because something may have changed within that year.
It absolutely did. Yeah, you know, guarantee it.
And this will help your team, right? This will help your team be successful, because you don't want to be one of those managers or people that hoard, like information hoard processes or whatever it is.
No.
You don't want to be one of those things. Yes. And then somebody, say you're out of pocket or you're on vacation or PTO, somebody comes to you, somebody on your team, and your team's unable to answer it because you're operating in a silo with certain processes that you haven't shown or trained them on.
That's right.
This is going to help them, and go back to that communication. This will help your employees know how to communicate.
Yes.
Clearly and concisely, right?
Exactly. And again, it's like it's an ecosystem of things that you want to build to work off of each other, to be contingent and dependent and interdependent on things. Because what it makes me think of also is recognition programs, right?
Yes.
Because again, you can't now they have LMS systems, learning management systems. You can't just say, oh, it's on the learning management. You have to assign these things, accountability. You have to assign it. You have to get employee feedback. You have to do the surveys. You have to continue the communication and then rinse and repeat and keep doing it and hold people accountable, but also recognize the folks that are winning well and hold the people accountable that aren't doing it well and find out why. Don't just punish them. Figure out why. Maybe your employee is having a tough time at home. You know what I mean? You got to meet them where they are. You have to support that they have a life outside of this job. Payroll is life. So you got to think about the life that you're supporting, helping them support, and how that's impacting their job. Because I don't care what people say, it's a cop out for leaders to say, oh, leave your problems at the door. No, they cannot. We are human. We are not leaving our problems at the door. We're bringing them right to the desk where they're front of mind as we're trying to work.
What's another, the acronym IAP is another thing for
it's about people. That's right. That's right. And that's something that we learned along the way, folks. It's about payroll. We were so adamant, like, it's about payroll, blah, blah, and it is. But what we learned is, oh my gosh, this is about people, right? Payroll is about people. We service, we support people, HR, human resources, people operations. Yeah. It's evolving. It's such an evolution of things. And training and development is just, it has to stay evolving. You can't, this the gone other times where it's look at the owner's manual. No, that's not how it works with refer to the employee handbook. No, the employee handbook doesn't cover SOP, doesn't cover practice. That might not be policy, but it's the practice, right? Mm-hmm. So these things are all important, right? It's like it, we have to get better at that part if we want the business to be better, right? One of those key things is take care of your people and they will take care of your business.
I remember I worked at a place and the manager that was there told the people, you need to read your job description.
Oh my God.
Okay. Yeah.
I read it. Now what?
Yeah. It didn't say anything about all these. It said extra duties. So any extra duties you got to train yourself on, like how they're supposed to.
No. Oh, hell. Oh my God. Yeah, see, we show, we show our age in that because we came up in a time for some really bad practices where, I came up in a time where people were still smoking in the offices. And what are you doing? You can't do that anymore. You know what I mean? Like just toxic environments. That Mad Men phase was just ending when I was coming up in corporate. Anywho, number 12 is audits and internal controls. Conduct periodic audits of payroll processes and internal controls to detect and prevent errors, fraud, non-compliant issues, and implement corrective actions as needed. Look, that could be our war cry, right? This is kind of this is top three things to do forever. If you need to come out, right? Often we get pulled into the weeds and we're going down rabbit holes of things and we got to solve and blah blah blah. And then I don't know if you ever get to the point where you're like, damn, well, gosh, am I doing all the other, like I said, job description? Am I doing all the other stuff I'm supposed to be doing? And audits and this item is a way to really pull out and be like, okay, conduct periodic audits of processes, internal controls, detect and prevent errors, fraud, non-compliant issues, implementing corrective actions as needed. That is a great sentence to just read out to yourself when you're lost. Yes. What's up?
Yes. And I also think it helps to identify what your responsibility is as the payroll pro or the HR pro, whatever you're in, because you may say, hey, I'm going to take the initiative and do this audit when somebody else is actually already doing that audit. So that's what the importance of communication internally.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Doing what?
Yes.
Okay. Hey, yes. Is anybody doing this audit? It's good to ask your counterparts in HR payroll, say, hey, is anybody doing this? I'm thinking about doing this.
Yes.
And that will help everybody communicate more. So that's why it's important to have those cross-departmental meetings and stuff like that and say, hey, let's connect, even if it's on a monthly basis. Hey, this is what I'm doing. This is what I audit. Let's work, make sure we're working together to cover all our bases. Because if payroll just does payroll, because you have some departments and some teams that are structured, hey, payroll just processes payroll. They don't do anything with employee changes. HR does all that stuff. Let's figure out who audits what then.
Yes. Yes. Yep. It's a great call out. Number 13, technology updates. Stay informed about advancements in payroll software and technology. Yep. Evaluating potential upgrades and enhancements to improve efficiency, accuracy, and compliance. That could not be more important than ever than today, I think. I guess we can say that many years from now. But still, I feel like we are at a crossword puzzle? No. Crossroads of technology and the AI and all this stuff that's just happening all at in the automation of things, the consolidation of companies, nothing but companies buying other companies out there, the consolidation of all these tech giants and gobbling up little ones. You have to stay on top of this. You have to stay as much as you can. And now there's so many newsletters, you don't have to do much. Like you sign up for one or two newsletters that are dedicated to reporting on technology, even more so payroll and HR technology. And that's all you got to do is just read through those, go on LinkedIn, right? What's up?
Yeah. So like You want to make sure that you check for those upgrades, because sometimes, depending on your system, some payroll systems upgrade automatically and they say, hey, we're going to change it. We're going to be doing some maintenance over the weekend. It's going to be down. But then there may be some systems out that are out there that you have to manually go in and check for an update. Say, oh, let me update this and call that. And make sure that you're doing that if you have one of those systems that require you to do that. Because there might be some out there. The big boys, they probably do the updates automatically without you having to do anything. But if you're in a situation where you have to go check for an update, you might want to do that.
Yep. Yeah, great call out. Great call out. We're giving you free game here, folks. Like always, this is good stuff. Take notes. Look at the show notes. Anywho, there's a blog coming soon, folks. I don't know if I want to spoil it for everybody. It's coming soon. And you know what? That holds us accountable because we need to do it. We're going to start putting our transcript out there and blogging so people can go and look at and pull what they need from it. Anywho, number 14, documentation and record keeping. Mm-hmm. Maintain thorough documentation and records of all payroll-related activities, transactions, communications, ensuring compliance with retention requirements, and facilitating audits or inquiries. And it goes hand in hand. You may say, oh, but you already said audit and controls. Yeah, but you know what? Audit and controls is useless if you're not keeping that output. If you delete the audit after you're done.
Okay, I did the audit. So, send me the results. I deleted it. I didn't save it. It was good.
What? No. Exactly. Oh, you have to keep it forever. Forever may be an exaggeration, but you need to keep it. You're talking about audit output that might be a small megabyte of data. You're going to keep it, put it in the archive, save it forever. What's up?
Yes. You think about these things, you want to be like Jodeci and be like, forever, my lady. There you go.
No doubt. Oh, man. That's it. Oh, that's it. That's what they're going to run with. Forever, my lady, Walt said. Yes. Oh, gosh. You can throw me off. The documentation record keep. Oh, this is the one I wanted because it's consistent with retention requirements. So if you ask, oh, but Brian, there's different retention requirements for everything. There are. Mm. You find the most strict and you apply it to everything so that you don't have to juggle different ones because different states have it. The federal puts out different retention requirements for different documents. Bro. Just find the most strict ones and you apply it across the board. And in today's world where everything should be digital, if you're not digital, you need to digitize. Make that a project. And so that your record keeping is online somewhere. It's digitized.
On the cloud. What else?
What's that?
On a cloud somewhere.
Yeah, on the cloud. Yes. Well, good thing you said that. On the cloud, but you must have redundancy. So make sure that your IT department has some redundancy so that you're saving it here, but are they backing up that file somewhere else, right? Mm-hmm. If not, you can create the redundancy by saving it on your machine, but also the cloud, right? So that if your IT department has any weight in gold, like they have redundancy, they have a way to back up your machine. Go ahead, Walt.
No, because what you said is so vital for the document retention and stuff like that. Because I remember a scenario where somebody I worked for, it was that same manager, matter of fact, that was hoarding the process.
Of course,
we didn't have a team shared drive.
And oh my goodness!
Saving it locally on his laptop, his machine, and he got the blue screen of death on his computer, and so they had to reset his hard drive. So everything that he had done, every audit, everything that he had on his computer had to be wiped clean. They couldn't save it for whatever reason, so they had to wipe his hard drive, and he lost all that data,
Yep. That's horrible. Mm-hmm. And it also makes me think of you need a good file folder situation, a good system. Don't let it get too crazy because then you're going to forget where things are. Unless you're documenting and mapping that out, like you want things to be intuitive, right? Like quarterly 941s, break it down pretty simple. Don't overcomplicate. Don't get too cute about things. Make it intuitive.
Yeah.
Almost the last one. Continuous improvement, continuously evaluate and improve all the processes, policies, systems, streamline operations, reduce cost, enhance overall effectiveness. That's a good one. What I want folks to zero in on here is reduce costs. Not that the other things aren't important, but you can really shine as a deliverer, as a function, as a domain, a payroll situation when you say, hey, I can save us some money. You know what I mean? What? You can save us what? Mm-hmm. You're gonna really stand out as a department if you can go to your boss, hey, we can save the company some money, right? And again, it goes back. We talked about employee engagement on the other show and how that needs to be a two-way street, right? Go peep that episode. That was good. So yeah, continuous improvement. Everything that we just talked about is rinse and repeat. You have to look at it, evaluate it, see what's, are things working? Are things not working? Quarterly is a great time to make those, have that meeting of the minds and say, hey team, what's working? What's not working?
Yep.
Right. Let's get better. Think about, oh my gosh, her name escapes me right now. Sarah
Chastney.
Yeah, I knew you would know because that was a big I know. Think about the level that she processes payroll. It was 20, 30, 40,000 employees or some craziness. And like that level, you have to constantly be improving things because the slippage, the spillage of things can be so easy at that level. The waste of money could be so easy at any level. So you, but how at that level is, whoa, you really got eyes on you as a deliverable. That sums up the kind of the best practices. My last two points are really just some reminders, but stay organized, stay proactive. Payroll professionals can effectively manage end of quarter tasks and ensure compliance with legal and regulatory requirements while providing an accurate and timely support to employees and stakeholders. Stay proactive, stay organized is key. And the other things were just the due date, right? Hello, today's 3/31, Q1 is done, but the due date is not until April 30th. Me and Walt argued about this earlier because we were like, oh, we're putting out this show too late. Well, I did. I was like, this is too late. And Walt waited patiently for me to get to the point that it was like due date until April, Brian, April 30th. I was like, oh. Well, then we got time, guys. Oh. So, anywho, April 30th, that's the due date federally for 941s, which is the biggest kind of what's up.
But just because that's the due date, it's my suggestion. This is just my personal belief.
That's probably.
Don't wait till.
Oh, hell no.
The week of the due date.
The 29th.
We have time. That's not saying to submit it by that date. Submit it and post it.
Yes. By that date. Yes. Yes.
So I'm gonna submit it on the 31st or the 30th, and be like, oh, okay. It's gonna take time for that state agency to process.
Yes. Yes. Don't do it on the 31st because April don't have 31 days. So you'd be madly
the 31st.
But no. Walt's point is so accurate. Don't wait. Don't just because you have that time. If you have complications, great. You have a little bit of leeway. But if you're ready, do it now because you don't know, right? And especially if you're doing it internally, if you have to do this yourself. I had to do these myself and one of my payroll jobs. We filed our own 941s. It was nuts. It was nuts not having an ADP or a big guy to do it for us. Paychex, Ceridian, Dayforce, all these names, whatever. All y'all, UKG, all the big guys, whatever. I talked to a colleague recently. She's like, all the P's. She said, all the P's. I was like, the P's? What are you talking about? Paychex, Paylocity, Paycor, Paycom. I was like, oh my gosh, how funny. Mm-hmm. But okay, and the other one, this is the real... Let me double back. So the 941 is due April 30th. But if you have 940, 944, 945, you need to go look that up. I didn't get those ready. Sorry. I know one of them is annual, whatever. But you guys got to do some work here, folks. We can't do it all. So
what's up? It depends on the industry, the company that you're in, the different filings. I know there's a filing for agricultural stuff if you're into that. So you have to do that. There's different things that you need to know about as a payroll pro, depending on what type of payrolls and stuff that you process payroll for, exactly right?
So. See? Walt is hitting his stride right now, folks. The other one is this The other one is states. Like, so that was the federal for 941s. But what about the states that you're in? They also require tax filings to be due. But every state is different. And just to give you an example, New York has a 3-day deposit. If withheld, $700 or more in a quarter, or $15,000 or more in a calendar year preceding the previous calendar year. They have a 5-day deposit rule if it's withheld less than $15,000 in a calendar year preceding the previous calendar year. And then quarterly is all employers and employers that withheld less than $700 in a quarter or have less than $700 remaining after the quarter, if withheld. You see what I'm going with it, folks? It is, and New York, it has the NS1. They also have an NS45, NS45 ATT, electronic files, web upload, compatible, prompt, all these things, the deposit due date for a 3-day, a 5-day, and a quarterly, they have. So again, my point is that I rattled off all that nonsense is that each state has its particular due dates based on the dollar amount thresholds, or because they just said, that's all. Some states it's monthly that you have to file. Some state, right? And then they'll have a reconciliation quarterly maybe, but you got to file monthly. So be aware, it's not just the 941 and it's not just quarterly. That by every state has its own due dates depending on the dollar amounts that you're processing. Or because they say so.
There's so many different things. There's so many different things that you have to consider and worry about. Yep. So many different type of taxes that may have their own individual due dates or submission dates that you have to submit those things by. For instance, one of the things that we have currently, we have some payrolls that are in the state of Washington. And so the state of Washington rolled out a new WALNI tax. You may have to do manually, and it's due every quarter, almost similar to the 941s, and you have to do it by that, but you have to do it manually. And we didn't know about some stuff. We got some fees and late interest penalties and stuff like that because we weren't in the know. So now that we know, we have to make sure that we stay abreast of those things and stay in front of those things, as Brian spoke to. It's the importance of the stuff is not only may it impact your job as a payroll professional, but it's definitely going to have impact with the company.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. That's a great segue into our Safe Talk segment of the show, folks. And who is more, so the Safe Talk question is, who is more responsible for making sure taxes are filed, the payroll team or the payroll provider, who is the TPA, which is the third party administrator, TPA. Yep. So who is more responsible? I'll let you go first.
Well, honestly, if you have your payroll provider as the TPA, they should be the ones to make sure that they're filing for you in your stead. So I feel like there is their responsibility for them to make sure that it's done for you. But that doesn't alleviate the responsibility that the payroll team has. I think it might be an equal opportunity here for everybody.
Yeah, you know? Pretty much. Like, so hey, at the end of the day, the company is going to be responsible.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, your payroll team should verify, and as simple as making sure that your team goes in and, again, if your payroll provider has statement of deposits that shows all the different taxes that were filed, just having your team go and save those and make sure that there's one for each company or one for each FEIN, because you may have multiple companies under one FEIN and it should list all the different companies on that statement of deposit, so you can see all the different ones and you can make sure that it's filed right. So that's what I think.
Yeah, no, you're right. Ultimately, is the company's responsibility, regardless even if your TPA takes responsibility, that just means they'll take the financial hit and penalty and all that and offset their bill to you. But you trust but verify. You still have to. Your boss is still going to be mad that it was missed if you have a payroll team that doesn't know.
So I want to say this, and I don't know if you agree with this or not, but even though they're the third-party administrator, all that means is that they're legally cleared to file in your behalf.
Correct.
Like Brian said, you, the company, is responsible at the end of the day, that the company gets those late fees. That's why the company pays those interest and stuff like that. Because if something wasn't filed, the payroll department is going to be like, hey, we filed what we could. You got
to
pay that.
Yep. And yeah. And just to follow up on the documentation piece that you mentioned, make sure that you're also pulling down the copies of the filings, right? So the summary reports are great, but you also want to pull down the copies of the filings. And I've, as I've said many times in this across many different topics, just because it's in your system as, oh, it's saved in the cloud in our app, in our system, in whatever your system you use, you should be pulling that down. So creating a redundancy, because what happens when you leave, if you ever leave that software?
Yep.
You know how tough it's going to be and how much they're going to charge you if you haven't been saving your things down, and the longer you're in that system, the more crap you're going to have to go back and save. So you got to make it a real-time process to save these things down in real time.
Yep.
And creating a backup so that when your company needs it and your team needs it, you could just go to the share folder. You don't have to log in, pull the report, run this, run that, save it down. Quarterly, I should be able to go in and go look at our 941s and go look at our state whatevers and see, okay, yep, everything's been filed. Here's the copies.
Yes.
Just, again, create that again, because especially in this day and age where the chances of companies moving from one payroll software to another kind of are increased because of all the technological advancement. Your company may want to be like, ooh, we've been on this one for 10 years, but this one is doing this now, and that's where we want to go. So, pull 10 years, and if you haven't been pulling down those all the documents you need 10 years, that includes W-2s, paycheck runs, by paycheck, quarterlies, monthly, whatever it is that your system is creating should also be saved in your files, right? Everything is digital now. There's no excuse. Cloud space is super cheap. Gone are the days that we're filling a file room up with paper and you're just paying real estate for a file room. I've been part of it, man.
You know those boxes? No, because that's why I was laughing. Those freaking boxes.
The legal ones. And then, bro. Put it in the name. Put it in the name. It's crazy.
Make sure they're in alphabetical order and then labeled correctly.
Labeled properly. Yes. You know how many times I've had to go to the storage?
Iron Mountain.
Iron Mountain. Yes. Iron Mountain. I had to go on site to purge. Oh, this is older than 10 years. I got to purge this box and make stacks. Yep. This is all purgeable. Are you kidding me?
Companies used to have, like you said, the storage units full of just Iron Mountain boxes and stuff like that. Yep.
Yes.
Got to go to Iron Mountain because we're having an audit from 7 years ago. You got to go pull this box.
Oh, nightmares, bro. Nightmares. All right. So the safe talk question is that who's responsible? And it's always going to come back to the company. You can evaluate that dynamic with your vendors and understand who takes legal responsibility and all that good stuff. But at the end of the day, it's always going to be the company is responsible. That's really it, regardless of how much your vendor, because I know there are some vendors out there that take responsibility, but that just means they're going to take the financial hit. Your reputation is still hurt. You know what I mean? If it impacts folks in your payroll, like you, unless you're running lean without a payroll department and you outsourced everything, then okay, great, your outsourced vendors are the ones responsible.
Yes.
But if you have somebody in-house that's being the liaison, being the coordinator, manager, they're gonna have some responsibility. So so what are we doing? What's in the next show? IAP 108. What are we doing in the next show? Next week?
I believe we're gonna have that payroll guy on, right?
Yes. Well,
we got a couple. We got two.
When will this post? We are double record. Oh, we are recording. I got my book, folks. The Payroll Mind: How to Build, Influence, and Make an Impact as a Global Payroll Professional by Bart Vanderstorm. If I'm not mistaken, I know his first name is Bart. Bart. Why is it in the air? It is Bart Vanderstorm. So go check that. Go peep that. It looks like nice, good reading for a payroll professional. I'm so excited that there's more payroll books being published out there that are not just how to do payroll.
You know what I mean? Telling you to write yours, man.
I know. I'm thinking about it. It's
five pillars of payroll.
Yes. You're right. That and that's yep. Thank you for that, Walt. I appreciate you. No, I appreciate it. You got to hold us accountable.
Yes, sir.
So yeah, until the next time, folks. That's it for today. That's until we get to 108. Peace. We love you.
Before we sign off, here are a couple of quick things. Don't forget to follow It's About Payroll on LinkedIn and It's About Your Paycheck on Facebook and TikTok. Thank you for being a part of our payroll community, and thank you for being a part of this journey with us. Until next time, keep learning, keep growing, and most importantly, keep going.